The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking more about the new Grace Evangelical Society's online seminary. How is it going to be sustained and how is it going to be operated? So glad you are with us today as we are going to be giving information about this new seminary, which you can find out more about at gesseminary.org or at faithalone.org. Now let's continue the discussion we began yesterday with Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We were discussing the GES seminary that we've just recently started, and there was just too much information for one podcast, so we thought we would run it over into a second one to finish up some of the issues.
Yeah, and one of those issues is, how can this be free? In other words, people tend to think you get what you pay for, right? So if we're offering classes that cost absolutely nothing to the student, it would seem like these are lousy classes. But my suggestion is that's not true. But the question is, how can it be free? And you pointed out when we were talking that we save a lot of money that accredited schools have to spend.
That's right. I'm not an expert on it, but I know when you go through accreditation, you have to spend a lot of money on, they have requirements, for example, on you have to have this many courses, you have to have this kind of a library. You know, they want your professors to
have to have like over 20,000 volumes of books.
Right.
You have to have so many full-time faculty.
And they want your faculty to be diverse.
Right.
And so they have to go out and they have to pay some. And a lot of seminaries will spend a lot of money to send their professors to go get these degrees.
Right.
And so there's a lot of money that's involved in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I've heard it costs about $1 million to get your initial accreditation. And then to keep it, of course, you need, at least at the beginning, you need a full-time person just to get you through the process, right? A full-time administrator that does nothing but accreditation. And I think that's an ongoing concern, that you need somebody in the administration that's always got an eye on accreditation. They may be able to do something else.
But, well, don't they, like, I remember being in seminary and saying, hey, we're going through the process right now.
Right.
What would you call that? Renewal accreditation?
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And you can also be suspended. Like my friend Mike Lee, his son Peyton was accepted at a medical school in another state last year, and he turned it down because the school's on academic probation, was just put on academic probation. And he applied to a number of schools this year, and he got a letter from one of them saying, we're on academic probation. So two of the medical schools he's applied to are on academic probation and could lose their accreditation as medical schools. Basically, we don't have the $1 million or more cost of accreditation. We also don't have the cost of classrooms.
Right.
Because we don't have any classrooms. We don't have the cost of a library. We don't have to have a separate building for 20,000 or 30,000 or, like, I think Dallas Seminary has over 1 million books. We don't need all of that.
And then you have to hire all the people who work in the
you
library.
You have to hire a bunch of people with at least a master's in library science. And we don't need all that. And, of course, we don't need the full-time faculty because we're hiring all people who are adjunct. Even if somebody's teaching 3 or 4 classes from us, they're just part-time. And so we're able to keep our costs way down. So that's one of the reasons how we can be free. But the other reason is because we have donors that so believe in what we're doing that they are extremely concerned that we train the next generation of Christian leaders, pastors, elders, women's leaders, etc.
And I just want to comment on that a little bit. Guys our age, Bob, and I know you know this.
What do you mean our age?
Well, we're in our 30s, late 30s.
Okay. Yeah. I speak for yourself. I'm 71. I think you're 64, aren't you?
Yeah, there you go. And so we have, coming through the Free Grace Movement, we just heard over and over and over again people say, well, I had this professor, Zane, or someone else, and that's where I learned Free Grace, and I learned it at seminary. Well, those don't exist today.
Right.
You know, what we went through, it's not there anymore. And so this is an answer to that. And that's why these donors, I'm sure, one of the main reasons that they're eager to support this is because they've seen the way this worked in the past, that when free grace is taught at a seminary level, the impact it can have.
Right. Another part of the reason is there are a lot of people in what are called developing countries. And I know you go and speak in some of these developing countries where they don't have $300 or $500 to pay for a 3-hour course. They don't even have $100 to pay for a 3-hour course, because that may be what they make in a whole month in some of these developing countries. So we're certainly wanting it to be free for people in the developing countries. Now, when I say it's free, it's only free if you maintain a B average. If anybody drops and they're not putting in extreme effort in these classes, then we charge a sliding scale of $50 in a developing country up to, I believe it's $150 per class in like the United States and other developed countries for the same 3-hour course. So it's important to maintain that B average. Which, by the way, this also motivates people to work hard, right? They're not going to just take these classes and horse around.
Right. And that is, that price, even if you get a C, is much cheaper than most seminaries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Dallas Seminary is now, isn't it over $400 for a master's hour?
Right.
So a 3-hour course is like $1,500. Now, they do make fourth year of THM program free. That's nice. But the first 3 years, you have to pay a very high fee. When I started at Dallas Seminary, my first semester, I think it was $50 an hour. And by the time I ended the master's program, I think it was around $100 an hour. And the doctoral program, I can't remember, but something like $150 an hour. But today, those fees have gone way up, and not just at Dallas Seminary, everywhere.
Yeah, I just remember even years ago when I was going through, I was poorer than Job's, turkey or whatever.
Job's turkey?
I forgot what the saying is.
A church mouse.
A church mouse, and it was very, very expensive. And we don't want that pressure on our students.
Yeah, and another reason why it's free is because we think this will free up the students to not have to work extra in order to be able to afford this. And also, it will motivate the students, at least this is our hope, that when they graduate, they will then in turn give back to the school to help others go.
Right.
So we think it'll be a fulfilling thing where people pass it on. They get 3 years for free, then they help other people get it 3 years for free. And our goal here is to see a lot of church planting take place.
Yeah.
So we hope a lot of people who get our 3-year degree end up and either go to an existing Free Grace church to be a pastor or associate pastor, or they start a new congregation.
And I also want to say, because I don't think we've talked about this, is the size of the class.
Yeah, tell us about that. You already mentioned that Greek has like 25.
But it's in two different classes. So we average 12. Tony Badger and I each have 12 in our Zoom classes.
And this is huge because most of our classes have about 10 people, which is two sections of 5.
Right. And that's usually with the same prof. But my point is these classes are small enough. You're not just a number. We know each other. We know the students. You have plenty of opportunity to ask the questions as we go through this.
And you're being graded by Dr. Ken Yates or Dr. Tony Badger, or you're being graded by the faculty member, not by some graduate assistant or something. And so you're getting, a wonderful opportunity here. Now, I might mention, Ken, that when we went to Dallas Seminary, we had to agree with the doctrinal statement, right?
Right, I did.
And so I couldn't get in if I didn't believe, for example, in eternal security. But today that's no longer the case. Now Dallas Seminary has a doctrinal statement for the faculty, and just 7 brief points of general orthodoxy for the students. And so students no longer need to believe in inerrancy. They no longer need to be non-charismatic, etc. Well, in our school, you have to agree with us on focused free grace theology. So
right.
If you don't hold to a focused free grace position, well, then don't even bother to apply for our school and until unless you agree with us. Because we're wanting to train people who are going to go out and continue this theology. Our goal is not to somehow win over people who disagree with us. Now, that's the case on this, on our podcast, our radio program. That's the case on our blogs. That's the case in our books. That's the case in the magazine, our journal. But it's not the case in the school.
Yes, we don't want to spend our classroom time discussing with a Lordship Salvation person what is the proper view of the gospel.
Right. So if you're in agreement with us, we want this view, and we think this is the way it should be, because we want to invest the resources of our donors in people who are going to multiply. I remember when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, we had a saying, go with the movers. And it was the idea that we would go out and look for fraternity men, sorority women. We would look for athletes. We would look for people in the student government. We were moving with the movers. And so the idea was that as we got these movers, they would in turn influence all kinds of other students. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the best approach, but I definitely think we need to move with the people who are doctrinally sound.
Yeah, and I would also say on that, if you say, well, that's not for me because I don't have a Bible college background or something like that. No, you can, if you agree with our doctrinal statement, come join us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you mentioned one other thing we'll end with. Every class has two sections.
Right.
Why is that? Why do we offer one, let's say, on a weekday at like 1 o'clock, and then let's say a Saturday morning at, say, 9 or 10? Why do that? Why? Because this is two different options for every student.
Because we have people who are working full time and
they couldn't make a weekday afternoon.
They couldn't make a weekday. And then we have people in other countries.
Like what?
Like, oh, we have some of our students are in Italy, Germany, Kenya, Australia. And so their time is completely different. You know, if we offer a class on Wednesday afternoon, it may be 2 a.m. for them. So we give them another opportunity to go when it's better for them.
Right. So if you want to take one of these classes and you work full time, well, you can take the Saturday section, right? Or if you're in Europe or Asia, well, you can work around it. Actually, the Wednesday afternoon might be perfect for you.
Exactly.
It might be just before work the next day for you.
Right.
But anyway, our goal is to see this theology spread throughout the globe and to see Free Grace churches planted and to see people that not only come to faith in Christ for everlasting life, but people who grow so that one day they'll hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
So let's keep
grace in focus.
Thank you both for that informative discussion. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. That's faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, when Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom in the temple. Who tore it, and why was it torn? I hope you will plan to join us again next time, right here. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.